Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is Frederick Pogue, a former political organizer who now works in the entertainment industry. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Frederick Pogue. Welcome back to the show, Fred.
Hey, what's up?
It's fucking crazy times, isn't it?
Yeah, just a bit, you know. I mean, we've had a little bit of, shake-up here and there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been crazy. Before we get into it, I just have to toot my own horn for a couple of things. First of all, I did predict Walls was going to be the pick, which, I mean, I didn't have a crystal ball. It's just what I felt. But I predicted this last Tuesday, pretty much before anybody did. I will say, I was sitting on the couch, I think it was Monday night, and... I think it was Monday night, and I was talking to Bob, and I said something like, you know what, I think it's going to be Walls. And he pretty much agreed with me, and, you know, and I was like, because, you know, it just seemed to me that he came up with the weird, I mean, we've all been calling them weird, but when he said it, it stuck. So, you know, he got that moniker down, and everyone's saying it because of that. He also has this, you know, Midwestern cool dad vibe, and I just had this feeling it was going to be him. Plus David Hogg loved him, so I just, you know, because I'm kind of on the small end of social media influencers, you know, I don't have millions of followers, but I don't always get the credit for shit. So, and I've had things that I've put out that have been taken from me. So I do want to say that I started on this Tuesday pushing for Walls to get more than, or up to, a million followers, because JD has 1.7. I think it was Tuesday night. He was just under maybe like 480,000, and now he's going up to, he's almost at a million, but I see other people out there pushing it and I'm really glad, but I just want to take some of that credit. Cause you know, my girlfriend and I it was my girlfriend's idea, and it was back in 2016, to get people to donate to Planned Parenthood in Mike Pence's name. And so we joined forces, we created this meme to do it, and it started spreading. And then some woman on Instagram just posted that, you know, do it in his name, and she got the credit for that, and it was really us. So, you know, I don't want to sound petty or anything, but I've been doing this for a long time, and I deserve credit when I call something out, so, or whatever I do. So I'm just taking it.
Absolutely. You got to take your flowers when you call something like that.
Yeah.
I'm I'm one of these people, honestly. I mean, I follow a lot of politics, and I know a lot of the players. Thanks. little interruption.
That's
there.
No problem. Hey, we're just a down home.
There it is.
Home.
I guess Tim Walz is coming for lunch.
Totally.
That's the surprise. You know, like, but no, I, you know, I'm one. I was one of the 70% of Americans that really didn't know him.
Right.
And
yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I didn't really know who he was. And my first pick was Mark Kelly.
I know. A lot of people. Initially, he was mine, too.
Yeah, same. And so, like, but then, you know, because I was thinking, well, we're going to need help with Gallego.
Right.
Arizona is going to be a big state that, like, well, it's a state we need to win just because of the Senate. But as I started seeing the interviews with Walz, I came around to, like, I think you were one of the first people on sort of in my social media political circle that I was like you know what, yeah, Walz. And it was more of a vibe thing.
Yeah,
it was absolutely a feeling. And that's the one thing, you know, from my days in organizing, and I really stress on people, is that politics really comes down to feelings.
It does.
It comes down to, it's that sort of intangible stuff. Like, you can look at all the numbers and the data and this and that, and, you know, sometimes policies do really have an impact. Like, we're seeing that with Dobbs and women turning out. But really, it's this visceral kind of thing that it you can't describe it. It just works. It just, like, I like this person.
Yeah, and you know, when, I swear to God, I was already sold on him, and then when I saw that fucking picture of him holding the pig, I was like, oh my God, it has to be him. It has to be, that pig is like got the happiest look on his face, and Tim has the happiest look on his face, and I thought, this is just a joyful human being, and she is joyful. I mean, she doesn't fucking play, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but I mean, she's a hardcore prosecutor, but she's also joyful. Oh, yeah. She's a joyful warrior, and I'm so glad that that stuck, because, oh my God, since he came down the escalator, it's been so negative. And I posted this and you replied to it on Facebook. I'm not going to read it, but basically I'm just going to go over this, because that Sunday, you know, I mean, I know that everybody had their feeling about Biden. I was so fucking nervous. I was terrified to, you know, after that debate, I still believed in him, and I was very angry at the way he was treated. But, you know, I didn't believe, like many of us, including Christopher Boozy, I didn't believe that Kamala would be able to convince the fucking racists of this country to go for her. Nobody anticipated what we just saw. But so, you know, we're sitting there, it was Sunday morning, well, it was like Sunday afternoon. Bob told me, he's like, Biden dropped out. I felt sick to my stomach. I posted it. I called my mother. She felt sick to her stomach. And then something happened. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into my spirituality, but I'm totally in. And I talk about it on my patrons only show a lot. But I talk about there's energy, right? There's just this energy that we all, your energy, I'm energy, collectively we have energy. And it was like something happened. There was this shift, and it didn't start here, because it happened in the UK, it happened in France, and they overcame fascism. And so within this very short span, I mean, like literally like a couple of hours, I went from feeling total despair, and I became so helpful, because you could see the rollout. Like, everything was aligning, everybody was falling into position. First, you know, Biden comes along and he endorses her, and then it's like everybody's endorsing her and she's getting all this money, and the energy was just building and building and building. And obviously we're at a different place right now than even we were then, but it was fucking remarkable. And I feel like what happened was, you know, like there's been this energetic shift, and I'm calling it a quantum jump, because we all had this like collective perception, and it was down and it was negative. And then within a few hours, we became this country that was hopeful, and we were so pro-democracy, and that's why it's a quantum jump. We had this one perspective, and then it shifted to a completely different perspective. And then Tim Walz comes along, and it's like, oh my God, everybody's just emailing everybody privately and saying it publicly, like, this is so amazing, I can't believe this is happening. I mean, are you getting emails and stuff from people telling you how excited they are?
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy.
it was crazy because I'm not very like spiritual. I'm very more of sort of like the rational,
right?
Really trying to stay in that realm. But I went through exactly what you felt. I went through that process where I was like, it was your post I saw on social media first, mm-hmm. and that Biden had dropped out, and I was just like, my heart sank.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just like, dear God, they got him, mm-hmm. you know, these people that are pushing him out. And I was, you know, I'm not in the space like you and Bob are, but I've organized, I've followed politics pretty steady for 20 years. And, you know, like studied it on a deeper level. And I was just like, man, they're going to push Kamala into this thing. Mm-hmm. She's got 100 days. There's like, man, I was worried she was set up to fail.
Right.
All these things went through my mind where I'm gaming this out. And then suddenly it's just, I see the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And friends of mine who are like far left are excited.
Yes.
And I'm just going like, what? Like, what's happening? And I was one of the last, I it crushed me. And then I kind of got on board and I hear the, we're not going back. And I'm like, okay, all right. I love that slogan.
Yeah.
And then I dared to be hopeful and then joyful. I was like, this feels like 08. Oh my gosh. This is 08, man. Like,
and it's even bigger. And the reason why and some people like Boozy today said it's bigger. And so did Jamie Harrison. And the reason I think it's bigger is, first of all, the stakes are much higher. McCain was not a dictator, right? We were really tired of you know, the Bush administration and the mm-hmm. war crimes and the crash and all of it. Cheney shooting people while he's on TV. It's just like, we were fucking done. But McCain was not a dictator. We were not fighting for democracy. I mean, Sarah Palin scared the shit out of me because I understood what she represented. She was kind of the face of the Tea Party, the face of what was to come, especially after, you know, a black man became president and all the fucking racism that we saw. But it was just, it's totally different than 08 in that reason, because it's like on crack now. You know, I mean, we're fighting this, not just one man. I mean, it's this whole movement. It's the Harlan Crows of the world. It's you know, but we've been seeing them being defeated in other countries. And I think, you know, I think that switchover that happened in everybody, because it happened to all of us, mm-hmm. you know, with the exception of the MAGA crowd, you know, they it's like, I think part of it did stem from watching these other countries and seeing their victories and seeing democracy win. I think there was just like this thing in all of us that it was like a switch that was flipped. And we all of a sudden went from, you know, despair to hope. And like you said, to joy. And it's extremely exciting to watch this play out, even though right now we are still we're in a very precarious position, because when she wins, and I believe she will, and I do believe, I believe we're going to see between 350 and 365 electoral count. Obama in 08 got 365. I don't think that's an unreasonable expectation, despite what the bullshit polls are saying. But I think that, I fucking lost my thought. What was I just going to say? overall, though, I mean, I lost my thought, but overall, I do think that, I know, is that we don't know what's going to happen when she does win, and except that we can anticipate. And I just want to get your thoughts on this. And I don't know how closely you're following Mark Elias, but you know, there's all these election deniers that are in place to certify the election. And so we're absolutely going to have a battle on our hands. If we do get a really big electoral, it will make it a lot easier. But like, what are your thoughts on that? How are you feeling?
So, you know, I actually do follow Mark Elias, and they were like Rachel, I know, talked about this. Mark's been talking about it. So what's happened this time with Trump? Just like, you know, remember when they tried to Steve Bannon, they tried to take over the school boards, and mm-hmm. that was for a little bit, and then that busted. In 2020, what was different then was they had a lot of people at the, you know, the state secretary level. where they were going to try to do the fake electors at the state level. Mm-hmm. Now they're trying to do it at the county level. Hmm. And so they've gotten into certain counties where they're going to withhold certifying to try to throw the election either to the House of Representatives or the state legislatures. Mm-hmm. We kind of saw that in 2020 with Wayne County, mm-hmm. Which I actually was living in Michigan in 2016 and I voted in Wayne County. Hmm. So I voted for Hillary. But here's the thing that's one, you're going a step lower than the state level. Mm-hmm. So now you've got a state and a federal level of people that can prosecute or put pressure on, in whatever way, like you're violating people's civil rights, mm-hmm. the Voting Rights Act, et cetera. The other thing too is if it is a blowout where it's trending in that direction, you also have now a record of what's happened to people who have stuck their neck out for Trump. You know, mm-hmm. Jenna Ellis is a prime example of that.
Yes, she just flipped. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, you know, if you're some county official, and a lot of these people are not rich, I mean, they're, you know, they're working class or they're middle class people, they can't afford these high level lawyers, mm-hmm. that, or they're not, you know, maybe they're a lawyer themselves, but they've seen what has happened to lawyers that have done mm-hmm. this for Trump. I don't know if they're going to be as willing to stick their neck out, like when push comes to shove. Like if Harris wins, say, you know, Arizona by even a larger margin than Biden won it. And there's a possibility that's going to happen because in the last 4 years, post pandemic, Phoenix is the number one city that's been growing population wise in the country. So, and a lot of that growth has been spurred on by Hispanics. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the demographic she's gaining in.
Yeah.
So there now this I'm not sure on this recent gobbledygook thing they passed in Georgia.
Right. Yeah.
Which might throw a monkey wrench into things there. But again, Trump's also not doing him any favors because he keeps insulting Brian Kemp, who's the governor of the state. I don't know if like Brian Kemp is and Brad Raffensperger are going to stick their neck out to help him out and try to steal the state.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Wow. Yeah. So there was an interesting piece in the New York Post too, where I can't remember the author, but basically they were asking Trump and Vance. And for those of you who don't know, the New York Post is a Rupert Murdoch publication. Mm-hmm. Right. So they were asking Vance and Trump to say, hey, guys, you need to tone it down on attacking the women. Because, you know, 7 more million women have registered to vote already this election cycle than men.
Right.
And Harris is now leading by 9 points with women across like the aggregate of all age groups. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even Karl Rove, I think what they quoted him on that on Fox News, I saw a clip where he was saying, yeah, that's troubling. Yeah,
don't be stupid. But they don't know how to be any other way because they had figured they were going to win because they were running against sleepy Joe Biden. And they just thought, okay, we got this in the bag. Now, I don't know. Obviously there was some kind of internal polling or something like that, you know, made Pelosi and higher ups talk to Biden. So we don't know what that internal polling is, but Trump saw it, I'm sure. And he felt really secure with his win. And what's so fucking great is that they had the RNC and they went after mm-hmm. Hunter and they went after Biden. And then right after it was finished, it was like, oh, guess what? We're flipping the table on you and it's going to be Kamala and there's nothing you could do. And so now what we've seen is it's like they're malfunctioning. I mean, it's like they're glitching out. And they only have their racism. They only have the stolen valor. They only have all the shit, the swift voting that they've been successful with this in the past. But I think this whole changeover that I talked about, this quantum kind of jump that we've all experienced in perception. You know, we went through 2016. We saw what they did to Hillary. We've been seeing for all these years how they've been talking to women, how they've been treating people. I mean, fucking Megyn Kelly. She's like, yep, that's it. Tampon Tim. That's the name. And, you know, and it's like, and so I don't know who said it, but somebody said Tampon Tim is going to stop the red wave. So it's like, fucking A. And so
that
I
was so awesome.
That was so awesome. And it's like, but these people, they just all, because all they have is hate. I mean, we say that all the time, but when you really get down to it and think about it, it's literally all they have. They don't have strategy. The only policy they have is neo-Nazi 2020 Project 2025 policy, which is crushing and harmful and cruel and anti-democratic, anti-human, and unless you're, you know, a wealthy white male, so or married to one. So it's like, it's unbelievable to me to watch this chain of events. And I look at this campaign that, oh my God, I don't know if you saw, but yesterday there was that first rally in, it was Wisconsin, right? Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Is it Wisconsin?
Yeah. Eau Claire. Yeah, it was in Eau Claire.
And they were like, you know, what was the chant? This is what, you know, what does democracy look like? This is what democracy looks like. And it just happened over and over again. So whoever it was, I think it was Rom Filipowski, he put up a tweet and it was the Wisconsin rally. And then it was JD's rally with like seven people. And there were more reporters than actual people showing up to that rally, which again, I'm going to go back to this. The polls are not accurate. They have not been accurate since. And I don't like when people say polls are shit because I think they're to a degree useful. I do get, I believe the bumps. When we see bumps, now I would say the same thing for Trump bumps. If he got like a bump because something happened, I would believe that. But what I don't believe is the bigger picture of the polls because, you know, Chris Hayes last night said this is a close election. No, it isn't. I think she's going to get 365. I mean, it's very possible that she could go that high. And if somebody wants to argue with me, just look what people are saying. This is bigger than this is 08 or bigger than 08. Then it's going to be at least like 350 to 365. I think the challenge here is that, and I wish they would say this out on the stump, but they're not saying it. I just wish Kamala would say, she's kind of said it, but you need to give me a blue Congress. You need to put people in the House and you need to vote locally. You need to go, you know, make sure it's not just the top of the ticket. Because that's where we've made mistakes before. And we've got to give her that blue Congress because she's a woman. She's a woman of color. And if she doesn't get, if something doesn't happen because the Republicans stop her, they're going to say, oh, woman should never be president. But let me just turn this around because, oh my God, there was, I imagine you saw last night when that heckler, I don't know what they said, but it was something about,
love that.
Yeah, it was love something that. About, you know, Gaza. And she initially, they cut this part out, but she said, we live in a democracy. You absolutely have a right to your opinion, to speak up and to protest. But then she got him with, but I'm speaking now. And, you know, if you want to vote for Trump, go ahead and say that. But I'm speaking now. And it was like that whole fucking debate with Mike Pence where she was like, hello. It's what's so great is that she, you know, Hillary Clinton was stalked by Trump on the debate stage. And she had that thought, like, yeah, I know, she was like, what do I deal with this? And she chose not to, and she later regretted it, and a lot of people regretted the fact that she didn't stand up to him. And I'm not going to beat her up for that because I understand this was the first time it ever happened. She was being too cautious, really. She was just being too cautious. She chose to be too cautious. And in politics, I think these days you just can't go for, oh, let me try to be cautious. No, balls to the fucking wall, because we're dealing with fascists and Kamala is not going to fucking play. And it's so amazing to see that energy. And while I was watching it, I thought, you know what? No man, and you know, no man could ever bring that kind of energy, because that is specifically like mom energy at the grocery store when your toddler is throwing a fit. You know what I mean?
Yep. So, you know, here's this at the risk of mansplaining, right? This is kind of how, and I've seen this. I've worked with a lot of women in aviation, in managerial roles and leadership. And for women that are kind of coming into, especially like women of color, And I, you see this regionally, like in the South, and it's this, they pull themselves back and they censor themselves, mm-hmm. where a man is not really taught to do that. Right.
You know,
if you're a man in the society, you're taught to speak your mind, speak out, you know, take up space. And, you know, women, because of the patriarchy, are not taught that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think Kamala scares the ever living crap out of weak men, is because she has that energy of, like, it's this balance of being civil and being polite, but drawing a line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm speaking, I'm going to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's with that, that is a, like, that's taking a sledgehammer to the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
That's moving into where you're going to treat me with the respect that you would treat a man if he was standing up here.
Right. Yeah.
And I love that. I love seeing that. And it's that kind of energy that scares the other side, because they do want to go back. They do want this, you know, like, let's put women back in the home. Let's get them out of the workforce. Let's turn the clock back. And no, like, we don't want that at all, period.
No, we don't. And, you know,
like, even as a man, I don't want that, because I want the ERA to finally get passed.
Yeah.
Because when women are protected, when body autonomy is protected, when they're equal in society, that protects me.
Right, exactly. Right? I mean, we all benefit from it.
Yes, that protects democracy. That protects my civil rights,
mm-hmm.
because now I have allies.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have, you know, people standing with me, where, because if you divide that and conquer, right, now I have less people standing with me, and elites have a better chance of pushing me around and or holding me down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, and it's interesting. Backing up just a little bit about this thing with Joe, and what really kind of, when I put my historical hat on, right, and I started to look at this in establishing sort of like cultural precedent,
mm-hmm.
the thing that, like, really kind of just turned me around on it, because I at first I was like, man, Joe really deserves a second term, he's done so great, blah 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 blah. But you know what, we've had a lot of presidents that have had second terms.
Yeah.
What we haven't had is an example of a president voluntarily giving up power.
Right.
And he just became that president. And that was, and if you look at it historically, that was after a president didn't give up power and had a coup.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, you have this contrast between, here's Trump,
mm-hmm.
January 6th. Etched in forever. And then here's Joe Biden stepping down and saying, you know what, go ahead, Kamala, you go ahead.
Yeah.
And opening the door for that and letting the next generation come in. And so now, forever moving forward, we have an example of a leader who, the leader of the free world, the most powerful position you could ever have, has said, you know what, it's my time to step down. That's immensely powerful.
Yes, it is. And then I think we always have to remember to recognize this is all happening because of him. I mean, we don't know exactly what went down behind the scenes. I know that there are camps of people who are pissed off at Pelosi. And I mean, I certainly told pretty much everyone to fuck off who was yelling it, because it was like, I mean, look, we were all afraid. And I mean, they're all so very self-congratulatory now. But obviously we were all terrified. And I just go back to the Saturday before this happened. You know, it happened on Sunday, and so that Saturday I was at a funeral. I was at Bob's father's funeral, and it was like an all-day thing. And so, you know, the funeral had happened, and then afterward we were in, you know, the reception area. And I remember, you know, you got your phone, and I'm addicted to fucking social media, and so I was terrified to look at my phone, because I was thinking, oh my god, what's gonna come up next? I mean, I have made no secret that I ran into the bedroom 5 minutes into the debate. I could not take it. I felt like I was going to throw up. it, obviously he knew what he was talking about, but the optics of that debate were just fucking awful. And it was terrifying to me. And I did believe he was going to win, but I just understood that he had to keep it together just until inauguration day. Cause it was like, please don't, nothing happen until inauguration. I mean, at least health wise. But then, I was afraid that there was going to be, a blip where he's talking and he forgets what he says, which I fucking do. And I've already done this on the podcast today, but it's like, I do it all the time. I'm going off on a tangent and then I'm like, wait, what the fuck was I talking about? But if he did it, it's dementia. And, and it was like, so I was terrified. And oh my, it's just so good not to be terrified anymore. But,
he is the
reason this is all happening. And I hate the way it was handled. I hate the public outcry. But I can obviously see that this was the best decision. And it was all because of Joe Biden. And just like you said, he's giving up power. And it's in such contrast to a man who incited a violent, fucking deadly insurrection. To keep power.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, what you're talking about, like, I'm still kind of annoyed at Jon Stewart and George Clooney.
Me too.
Right. Yeah. but it's one of these things where it's like, yeah, we ended up in a better place and all the things that I wish had happened under Biden, but it just, because again, going back to politics is more feelings and everything else, has happened under Kamala, where you have this great upswell of, support, very organized and grassroots, backing the candidate, or a Democratic candidate, one who supports democracy. I wish that it happened under Biden, but it didn't. I'll take this.
Yeah.
And then you couple that with the example now that Biden has set moving forward of really the thing that we talk about from an idealistic standpoint, that we want to see our leaders that are selfless and that are public servants. Mm-hmm. We want the Tim Waltzes. We don't want J.D. Vance. We want Tim Waltz, right? Yeah. We don't want Trump. We want Kamala.
Yeah.
And to see that happen, I love that. However, because you pushed him out, you didn't know this was going to happen. Yes. No one did, right?
And no one was saying it should be Kamala. They were all very quiet about who it should be. And we all understood why. I mean, and again, I think everyone was fearful. It's not that people didn't trust that Kamala could do the job. It was people didn't trust Americans to trust Kamala to do the job. And that's what we were all afraid of, because we've just been seeing, I think, it felt, and I said this in some podcasts just a few, before she was the nominee, it was like, we've gone backward, but evidently we have not. We have not gone backward.
It's funny. I talked with a buddy of mine, and we're one of the weird people that we talk policy and strategy and this and that. And it's, like how sports fans talk about their favorite team. We talk about politics that way. But there's a fundamental difference between he and I usually in these discussions when we talk about whether we're fearful or hopeful for the future. He's more cynical on the American people, where I'm more optimistic. Hmm. And we had a where it came down, where I kind of stumped him a little bit. He says, I don't understand how you can be optimistic. And I said to him, well, if you're not optimistic on the American people, how can you be optimistic on democracy? Because that's what it takes for it to work.
Yeah.
So, and what I loved was we probably will never know the full story of what went down behind the scenes until years later. Mm-hmm. But this is my feeling that what happened, the elites kind of pushed him out. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about Pelosi and Schumer. I'm talking about the donors, people that they wanted somebody other than Kamala.
Yeah.
And so he said, okay, Joe said, I'll step down, Kamala's in. And then the people took control. They said, oh, okay, we're going to take control of this now. Mm-hmm. Well, we might want someone. No. Kamala. Kamala's and it was this swell of regular people that said, we want this. this is what we want for our country. This is what we've always wanted, but now we're enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting behind it. That seeing that, and then what really kind of like filled my heart with joy, you know, was that first speech she gave at mm-hmm. the campaign HQ. Mm-hmm. And when Biden called in and said, "I'll be watching you, kid." I was just like, damn, man. I love
it. I just want to cry.
I know. I teared up. I was just like, I love this party.
I know.
I love this Democratic Party.
God.
And that's another thing where we're not 08. In 08, Obama had, you still had the Southern Democrats, which mm-hmm. were kind of conservative, you know, like Harold Ford Jr., who's on Fox now. He was my, senator for a little while, or he ran for it. And, you know, they were conservative, right? You remember a Democratic Party where we used to have, well, I'm pro-life, I'm not pro.
Right.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Right? I couldn't imagine now in this environment an anti-abortion Democratic candidate.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't see that.
No.
What has happened to our party is we're starting to take back the patriot fiscal responsibility,
mm-hmm.
freedom, you know, like Tim Walz, really, if you look at him, he's an Eisenhower Republican.
Yeah.
Really. But they don't exist anymore.
Right.
Right. So now it's our party is the party of, you know, like, mind your own damn business.
Yes.
Keeping the government at like letting people have the space and equality to be who they want to be and love who they want to love. And like, I love that party. I want to be a part of that party.
Yeah. You know, I just have to throw in, you know, this whole thing. The reason they're calling him Tim Tampon is because he made sanitary napkins and sanitary products available to all kids.
Mm-hmm.
Including boys, putting it in boys' restrooms because of trans
yep.
kids. And so, I mean, when you look at that and you look at how, like, it's, you're right. I think because Donald Trump and Trumpism pushed conservatives all the way to fascism. I mean, I think they were heading there anyway. The Tea Party was absolutely fascist. But, you know, as a movement, Trump kind of brought them over the edge, which has forced us to be, you know, this open tent party to be much more progressive. And I think, you know, I mean, Biden appears moderate because he's able to work with the other side, and he's an old schooler, and he's not going to say, like, Kamala will come out. She's a Gen Xer, she's a woman, she's a prosecutor. So her style and the messaging of her campaign, obviously it's much more aggressive and it's different, and it's what we've been all wanting. But people, I think, mistakenly thought that Biden, I think Biden is a progressive. When you look at what he's mm-hmm. been able to accomplish, I mean, he's definitely an old schooler, but at the same
yeah.
time, you know, and I'm gonna go back to this every time, because there was this woman at the grocery store. I always talk to the women at the grocery store, or and the guys too. But anyway, there was this black woman at the grocery store, and we would always talk about politics. And she's obviously a Democrat, and she did not like Kamala. And I was like, why? And she's like, I just don't like her. And this was back in 2020. So she's like, I just don't like her. I just don't like her. And she's this and she's that. And I'm like, well, I like her. You know, I mean, my top choice, I kind of vacillated between Harris and Elizabeth Warren. Although
same.
Elizabeth Warren was always my number one. I think I always went back to her. But I mean, it was really kind of, sometimes I was like, no, I'm Harris now. Oh, wait, I'm back to Warren. No, I'm Harris. And I would go back and forth. But I really liked Kamala Harris. And so anyway, after Joe Biden made her the selection, I think they were already inaugurated, she brought it up because she's like, I just don't like her. And I said, but why don't you like her? And she's like, well, I don't like the way she attacked Biden during the primaries. And I said, you know, I look at it differently. I don't think she attacked him. I think she confronted him. And how did he respond? He listened, and he made her the vice president of the United States. And
mm-hmm.
it was like, when I said that to her, she was, the light went on, and she was like, oh, I didn't think of it like that. And it,
yeah.
you know, and it was like, so he's very progressive. I mean, he's made mistakes, and he's a gaffe machine, and blah, 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 blah. But when you look at everything that he's done, he is literally the best president of my lifetime. I consider him to be progressive. And going back to what we were talking about, I do believe that Donald Trump has pushed the Democratic Party and even independents into a more liberal kind of progressive idea about things. Because what's fucking crazy now is you're seeing Republicans for Kamala. You're seeing, mm-hmm. you know, independence. There was this one interview, and I don't know where they were, but it was somewhere in America where they had gone for Obama, then they went for Trump, and they interviewed a Republican woman who voted for Trump twice and was planning on voting until Kamala came along, and she's like, "Now I don't know. I kind of like this Kamala woman." And then he was an independent right leaning. I mean, he looked as MAGA as you can get. He wasn't MAGA, but he had voted again. He was going to vote for Donald Trump, and he said the same thing. He's like, "I don't know." And it's like you've got these men in biker gear, and they're all like badass looking biker dudes, and they're like, "Yeah, I like Kamala." And I'm like, yeah. "Oh my god, what's happening? What is this, the America that what?" It's blowing my mind. And then you know what? I want to throw first of all, I want to bring this up. There is this bullshit. Trump started it, and now I've seen his stupid surrogates taking it on. They're trying to convince everybody that Biden is really angry at what happened and that he's going to storm the DNC and demand to be the candidate. This is the angle they're going with. How fucking ridiculous is that? It's fucking laughable.
You know what's amazing about that is Trump has finally embraced manifesting. That's what this is. You know, he's probably got the crystals and the essential oils, and he's trying to manifest it. You
he's
know?
Really trying, but our
he's
manifestations
really,
are
really trying.
Our intentions are stronger. We're winning. Because, you know, that's funny. I talk about fucking manifesting all the time on my other show because I'm into intentional.
Trump's listening to your show, Kimberly.
He's trying really hard. But you know what, Donald? It's not going to happen because our intentions are stronger and there's more of us. So we win. But, and then, of course, where is Trump is now trending? Where is he?
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. hiding from the black lady who turned black.
Well, he supposedly got this emergency presser he's going to do today after yeah. we get off the phone. So we'll see that.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know, right? Like going back to the Biden being progressive. So here's the interesting thing. And you always kind of – a candidate really can't do everything, right,
yeah.
in their term. You know, Obama had ACA, and then after that, the Congress he had, there wasn't much he could do. Biden was able to accomplish a lot, but with what he had, mm-hmm. but then he had to turn it around. And here's mm-hmm. the thing that I'm kind of excited about Kamala. Biden was an old school sort of FDR type mm-hmm. of Democrat, big on unions, mm-hmm. big, but he was really big on institutions. Mm-hmm. Almost to a fault, but I think he had to be that way to try to return us to normalcy after Trump.
I agree.
But what has come out with the Supreme Court mm-hmm. and just the level of corruption that is on that side of the fence, we're going to need, I think, a president that is going to in order to reform the institution, mm-hmm. they're going to have to step outside of the norms, kind of like what Karl Popper talked about, with saving democracy. And you know, you can't be a slave to the institutions because mm-hmm. that very thing the fascists will use against you, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And, you know, you saw that kind of with Lincoln and Civil War. This is for Bob. When he suspended habeas corpus in Maryland, mm-hmm. he basically locked up the governor in Maryland who was a Confederate. But the state wasn't pro-Confederate. And so Lincoln's like, man, I'm not going to be surrounded by Confederate forces all around D.C. I'm just going to lock him up and suspend habeas corpus and put the whole state under military law or martial law. Mm-hmm. And so what I would like to see from Harris, and this is the other thing, too, how they're working in tandem, Biden and Harris, mm-hmm. is when Biden put out that court reform and Schumer said, I'm going to get behind this. I think what I love about her background, and I'm hoping, I want to see her appoint like a Josh Shapiro type to as the AG.
Yes, Oh my God, yes.
We're gonna need an attack dog.
Mm-hmm.
Or like our Jack Smith, somebody who's like, say, go root out corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Get like we gotta get this cancer out. Now, the other thing is people said, oh well, you know, with the filibuster, and I would love to see that get rid of. I don't know if they'll do it, but here's the interesting wrinkle with this. We already, with judge appointments, right, judicial stuff, we already don't have that under the filibuster threshold. There's all these exceptions. So part of me wonders if Schumer, being sort of the institutional Senate animal that he is going to carve out, oh, no, the stuff with the judicial and court reform, we don't need 60 because that's over here in this box,
mm-hmm.
right? So they might, if we get a strong enough Senate, we might, like, say, we hang on to what we have, or we even increase by 2 or 3, which I think now is possible.
Yeah, I think it's possible. It absolutely is.
You know, I think we might see that.
Yeah.
But so where I think Joe Biden has more sort of, I think he's more, his thing is more labor and sort of economic fairness. I'm wondering if Kamala's thing is going to be more of the court reform, which we're really going to need.
Yes, we absolutely will. Yeah.
Yeah. And if she, and I love the fact that she said, when they talked about restoring Roe, she said, I think the ERA would be a great start.
Yes.
Because that's what we really need. We really need something to codify equal rights in the Constitution as amendment, as a check against a Supreme Court ever doing this crap again.
Yes, and I was one of the people who was talking about, I was one of the only people talking about the ERA back in 20, like, I think it was like 20,
get
I mean,
flowers other... again, girl, get them flowers.
I am. And I mean, I do want to say this. I wasn't necessarily one of the only people. I was just fortunate enough to have a huge platform because I was doing blogging at the time with this guy, Sam. And Sam, between the two of us, we had probably 5 to 7, I don't remember how many, massive political pages. And so because I had that, it was on Facebook only, but because I had that reach, I was the one who was able to get the most information out. Not to say that I did the most, because there were so many people. Alice Paul, who wrote the ERA, said that, you know, it's like a mosaic and everybody is a piece of that mosaic. I was a piece of that mosaic. I just happened to have a really big platform and I used it. And I mean, I chased after Democrats who weren't supporting it. And I wrote, you know, unflattering blog posts about them, which did not make me feel good. But it was like, come on, man. What's his name from Virginia? Senator Mark, and I don't know why I can't think of his last name, but he was, I'll think of it in a minute, but he wasn't getting behind it. Mark Warner. And I pushed him into it. It was me who literally pushed him into it with my unflattering blog post. And it was so funny. this makes me laugh every fucking time, because I was sitting there at my computer in my robe writing blogs, and I just, you know, at that point in my life, I had a decent, you know, that platform. And then I had a good, you know, Facebook following, but I wasn't on Twitter or anything. And Ben Carson was the one, Senator Ben Carson from Maryland, was the one who had, you know, written the ERA resolution. And once this blog post, which I warned Warner's chief of staff, I'm going to post this unless I hear back from you. I did not hear back, so I posted it. And I know it really pissed off what's his name, who I just see out of my brain is fucking failing, Ben Cardin. And Ben was like, I heard from a ERA activist. He called her up and he's like, who is this Kimberly Johnson? And you know why is she? And it was like, woohoo, man. I mean, I appreciated him. I know he was pissed off that I put the pressure on Warner, but it worked. Okay. So what I want to ask you this, what do you think we're going to see sentencing in September for the 34 felonies? I know everybody's got their opinions on this. There are some people that it's like he's absolutely not going to jail, and other people feel he's absolutely going to jail. Now, I just want to preface this with the judge. You know, he doxed the judge's daughter. And on top of it, I know what's taken into consideration is how, you know, the behavior. Do they show remorse? How do they behave after the fact? Okay, well, he's had all this time to show this judge how he's been reacting and all that shit. What do you think is going to happen with sentencing?
So Here's the thing, and this is my, I'm going to preface this with it. It is like a sports prediction, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
I think they're going to delay sentencing until after the election because it's so close.
Really? Okay.
But I think they're going to do that, or because he's a first-time offender with a thing in New York. I don't think they'll remand him. They're not going to, you know, as Glenn Kirshner said, they're not going to step him back and put the cuffs on him and remand him to custody.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump will serve a day in jail in the United States because I think he's going to flee the country.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Because there's also the theory that the Hitler theory, but I think he would flee before he would take his own life.
Here's what there's no way. He's too narcissistic to do that. I think because, I mean, Scaramucci brought this up.
I was just going to bring this up too. Okay.
Yeah, he just brought this up a couple of this is the thing I loved about the Harris campaign is, and one of the things I'm like, where it made me feel better just from an infrastructure standpoint, she kept everybody, and because mm-hmm. and I didn't know this kind of caveat was because she was on the ticket and the money went to the ticket, Biden could just transfer it all over to her, and mm-hmm. so all the money they raised, it was, you know, so really the campaign just kept rolling right along.
Mm-hmm.
Trump has not put money into infrastructure. He has gotten rid of a lot of people in the RNC, all the outreach programs, because they were going to put it into election challenges. Because I think they knew he really can't win. Like, he might win, get lucky like he did in 2016 against Biden. But now
You mean against Hillary?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, he could do the same thing with Biden that he did against Hillary in 2016.
Right.
That's what I was trying to say. Thank you. But here's the other rub with that, right? Hoarding this money and kind of keeping it back, he doesn't have to do legal challenges post-election in November. He could just hop on a plane and take off.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, come on, Fred, that's just conspiracy. Well, here we go. What's he hawking now? Bitcoin.
Yes.
Cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. which is huge, right? With, you know, this international kind of criminal kind of stuff. And the one thing that was that a lot of people, I saw Heather Cox Richardson talk about this. Mueller in his report said that international criminal conspiracies now are funded by billionaires. And it's starting to blur the lines where mm-hmm. The money laundering is going global,
mm-hmm.
right? And a lot of that is cryptocurrency. And so you look at what Trump could possibly be for, say, a Putin
mm-hmm.
in Hungary as a mouthpiece against the U.S. where, oh, the election was stolen from me. They tried to, you know, I'm a political prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps kind of part of this hardcore base that funds his lifestyle. Plus, I think now that there's supposedly a deal being worked out in Saudi Arabia that he's going to have a hotel there, and it's another $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
So all the people that don't really like us or allies that are just here because of convenience – Trump is the perfect sort of mouthpiece, and
yes,
that
he is.
In his sort of necrotic, you know, narcissistic mind lets him have his ego and psyche intact. Is like, oh, well, I had to flee to Hungary, and you know, I'm over here now tossing bombs because America's going down the toilet. Mm-hmm. He's going to say the exact same thing.
I think that's my prediction. Very, very real possibility. And it's funny because I have a Scaramucci quote here from Twitter: Trump and the RNC have no field offices. Also, cursory check through social media, specifically Facebook, the Trump ads are down to a trickle and in many places non-existent. Yep. The media should be asking what they did with the money. And then Jack Smith, who's not really Jack Smith, Jack Smith on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a fake account.
Yeah, it says the money isn't going into resources to win the election. The money is going into resources to change the results. But yeah, and I we saw there was a Eric Trump tweet today talking about Bitcoin And that's I think that makes a lot of sense what you're saying. I think that's very plausible. And it really, I mean, if we're going to see something like a landslide, right? If Donald Trump is going to get like 100 and something electoral votes and she gets like 365 or, you know, some big number, I think that the writing is going to be on the wall. Because he's, mm-hmm. he's, you know, he understands that they've got all, I mean, I don't know. He's clearly very delusional. The degree of delusion is hard. I mean, the late, great Hannibal Lecter being repeated about 45,000 times is telling you that the guy is not mentally there. But I, you know, I don't know how that's going to affect him when he sees this. For all we know, it could even be bigger. There's going to be some cheating. There's going to be voter suppression, which I think if we didn't have all of that, it would make the electoral count possibly even bigger. But I think mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I believe Hal Sparks is calling for 10 million more votes for Democrats this time. I'm not sure about that number, but if it's not 10 million, it's still a big, big number because Biden won, I think it was almost 8 million or 7 some million more than Donald Trump. And Donald Trump did get more votes than he did in 2016 than he did in 2020. So obviously, but I think at this point he's losing support. Boozy made Christopher Boozy gave his prediction on, and I want to ask you this. This is the last thing I'm going to ask you, but he gave his prediction map right now. He said, depending on who she chooses for VP, and obviously the VP choice was very good. And then depending on the DNC and then any unforeseen event, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there was an assassination, you know, attempt on Trump, or at least there was a shooting where Trump was. So anything could happen. So we don't know. That could bring her up. That could bring her down, whatever. His take right now is 350. And so what he did was he's throwing Florida and he thought Florida was in play for Biden. He believes it's in play now. And he explained why. And he said, because he's like, I know a lot of people think you're crazy, but he's not going by the polls. What he's going by a number of different things. And he's looking at, first of all of the new newly registered voters. Mm-hmm. There's also the cost of housing, which has gone up. And there's all this, you know, disadvantage for people living there financially. Nobody likes Ron DeSantis. His favorability has gone down. He was talking about, you know, neighborhoods and communities like the Villages that were all about Trump. I mean, we saw the Villages the other day coming out for Kamala. It was just like this big golf cart line pro Kamala. So you've got these Trump kind of communities and territories that are not displaying signs. And normally, I think even Christopher said this, you don't just go by yard signs. But when you take into account that this was a community where, you know, in communities that were heavily Trump and heavily yard signed, it's not as much anymore. To say that the support is falling. So, I mean, you can throw in whatever you want. I mean, he also said, as far as, you know, abortion and weed being on the ticket, mm-hmm. people could still vote for that and vote for him. So just because those things are on a ticket, it's not a guarantee, although it does help the Democrats. So there's all these different things in play. I mean, and then there are some people that, and Boozy does not see Texas flipping, but there are other people saying, yeah, Texas could flip. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think about Texas and Florida?
So I think Boozy's 100% right on the only thing I would add to that is if you're a retiree, right, and let's say you're not a crazy cultist, mm-hmm. you know, you've done well for yourself. Here's the factual data you'd look at. Did your retirement portfolio in the stock market do better under Trump or mm-hmm. under Biden? Mm-hmm. It did better under Biden. You know, yes. So that might have you go, you know what? Right. Yeah, okay. I might push the button for him, okay. Especially if you're not, you know, if you're not withdrawing more than $400,000 a year, so your taxes aren't really going to go up. Right. You're looking at your state, which DeSantis has run into the ground. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, okay. And yeah, maybe the weed thing and the abortion thing maybe doesn't get you out to vote, but maybe it does, because the thing about the abortion thing that has changed is if it affected poor women, most people don't care. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, it's poor people, it's whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But now, because of what's happened, this has reached into that imaginary red line into the suburbs. Mm-hmm. My granddaughter, my daughter mm-hmm. goes to the hospital, and what? She can't get care because some crazy right-winger passed this law? What? No, like, she's having complications. Like, there's doctors. Well, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the reaction. Texas, the interesting thing about Texas is the actuarial tables as far as the growth of Hispanics there is we were looking at 2028 starting this into 2032, where they started to outnumber, they started to equal white voters in that state. And with a lot of people moving to Texas, especially during the pandemic, and that was the huge thing that was going on down there. It's like, oh, they're bringing their liberal values from California to Texas, blah, blah, blah. Remember when Marjorie Taylor Greene got all upset and said, there should be a law that you shouldn't vote for 5 years. Okay, there, Fasci. Just calm down. Go do some CrossFit and burn off some of that madness or whatever. I think Texas is very much in play because you've got the thing that's going to have to happen there with this massive voter suppression. And I really, and I'm going to pull another horrible card, which I got a lot of black friends. Now I worked with a lot of black folks in Philly, and I, when Kamala, this is my yard sign anecdotal thing.
Okay.
When people went to that rally, I got a lot of friends that were there in person. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of my friends, one in particular, she said, she told a story about her grandmother living in rural Virginia and having to hide in the house from the KKK.
Wow.
And now she's at a rally for Kamala Harris.
Wow.
She's like, my ancestors would be proud that I'm here.
Yeah.
When you're going to need that kind of energy to stand online for mm-hmm. 10, 12, 14 hours mm-hmm. to vote for Kamala Harris. Now, if you're in Harris County, in Austin or Houston, in Texas voting, would you do that for Joe Biden? Maybe not.
Right.
Would you do it for Kamala Harris? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to do that for Kamala Harris. Because this is that general, like, that's the 08 energy. That's mm-hmm. This is a once in a generation historical defining election.
Yeah.
And if you have that energy,
100%.
Texas could flip.
Yeah, and when I was living in California, which was going to go blue anyway, and I knew it, in 2008, I had a fucking hardcore lower back problem. It was awful. It was like 6 weeks. And on election day, it was raining, and I stood in line in the rain with my cane. And it was like, I don't care that California is already going to go blue for him. I'm putting, mm-hmm. I need to vote. And I'll stand here in pain. I'll stand here and get wet. And I don't know how long I stood in line, but I was miserable and uncomfortable throughout the entire process. But it was like, no fucking way was I going to not vote for Barack Obama. It's like, no way. So yeah, that energy is absolutely there, because it's like, this is like Hillary kind of cracked that. She broke the glass ceiling in many ways, but when it came to the presidency, she cracked it. And now Kamala is just like bursting through it. And I just bringing it all back to what we first talked about at the beginning, the excitement, I don't think the excitement is going to go anywhere. I think this campaign fully understands, first of all, it's so great that we literally only have this short period of time, because our world is very all about instant gratification, especially with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all elections should only really be, 3 months, I think, but because they're not, we've got this advantage where we've got this just amazing energy that only seems to be getting more, and it's like building and building. The momentum is building, the money is building, the excitement, the registrations, mm-hmm. the volunteering, all of it. And I've heard people say there's this one Nate, he's a Democratic Nate, he's just always assuming the worst, which drives me fucking nuts. But anyway, I said to him something like, we've got all these newly registered, all these young people are registering mm-hmm. to vote, and he's like, well, we just need to turn, and he's right, we need to turn these registrations into votes. But I just don't believe that young people are going to take the time to knock on doors, make phone calls, and all that, when they're having to live through wondering if they're going to die going to school, live through, seeing people's school debt get knocked out by Biden, and maybe they still have it, and they know that if Kamala wins, there's a good chance that their school debt could get knocked. I mean, I just think that this time around, the youth is not just voting against, they're voting for. They've got, you know, we all hear Democrats need to feel hopeful. And
yep.
Sadly, it's the kind of country, because we have so many millions and millions and millions of people, the kind of person running for president needs to be a rock star. It shouldn't be that way. Wonky should be good enough. Hillary Clinton, although she did win, 44,000 people kept her out after 3 million more voted for her. But it's just the way it's designed. And, you know, unfortunately, that wasn't exciting enough. And plus, at that time, we did have the Bernie kind of I was a Bernie supporter initially. And, you know, it put that division in the party. And he, as far as I'm concerned, he pisses me off. I mean, and I don't hate him or anything, but it's like he didn't leave. He should have fucking left. He didn't do anything when he found out that the Russians were using him basically to sow division. He acknowledged it, but he didn't really do anything about it. And I think that was selfish, and it hurt Hillary. And so, I mean, we don't have that now. It's like, and then with this protester thing last night, the way she shut it down and the way that she was able to handle it, none of that shit is our problem anymore. Everybody's fucking united and on board, and it's just fucking awesome. And I'm so excited. And I mean, I feel so good. It finally feels so good. I mean, yeah, the big bad fascist wolf is at the door, but I think we're going to win. And I think we're going to win in the courts, and we're going to move forward in such a way that this country is finally going to overcome this Trumpism. I feel it. We all feel it. It just feels amazing.
And, you know, the awesome thing about it is we defang the big bad wolf by calling them weird. Mm-hmm. It's like we're finally seeing them for what they really are. Yeah. It's like they're not terrifying anymore. It's like, oh, wait a minute. We're scared by these guys? These freakos? Like
the couch fucker?
Why? You know, man, go sit back in the corner. Like, get out of here. And yeah, each kind of movement has its drawbacks. Like for like you said, for us, we have to be inspired to turn out. Mm-hmm. But what I think may change, and what makes I like being on this side, the Republicans and the MAGAs turn out because of hatred.
Yes,
because they want to see the cruelty. They want to see. They revel in this. Let's punish someone else. Let's mm-hmm. take away rights from women. Let's take away body autonomy. What I'm hoping, and what we've seen with the trend on these special elections, is you got to keep turning out. Mm-hmm. And we almost got that. Almost happened to us. What happened in 2016 with Hillary? That almost happened to Biden. Mm-hmm. But then this happened.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that if this is really big, that our side sees, hey man, when we turn out, we can do really big things.
Yeah.
We can do amazing things. And it feels so good to be hopeful again, to not go, oh gosh, I hope 2025 Project 2025 doesn't become the law of the land.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It feels like not only, I mean, I think I'll just add this, that in 2008, like I said, we weren't fighting fascism the way that we're fighting it now. And mm-hmm. so we just fully didn't have a full comprehension of what was about to come. And because we've all lived through this, I think it's like Kamala's going to take us into a new era. It's mm-hmm. it's a new way of looking at politics. It's a new way of Democrats messaging. Like they're bringing back, like you said, we're taking back all the patriotic shit that the MAGA stole from us. We're putting our names on camouflage now, which is all the Kamala campaign, which used to be like that side of it. We're reclaiming it, and we're taking it back. And I do think that this is just going to start the new, mm-hmm. like I said, a new era of how we live, how we message, how this country progresses. I genuinely feel that in my freaking bones. So yeah, it's just, mm-hmm. it's awesome. And it was fun talking with this about you. It's funny because you and I have a little chat going on Facebook, and oftentimes you provide me with really crucial, interesting information that I take out to like Twitter or something like that. So I just want to publicly say thank you, because you have such Absolutely. Interesting takes on it. And it was just great talking to you. I think you have a unique and interesting look on this. And so, of course, before I let you go, I tell everybody to tell my followers, where can they find you?
Well, right now I'm just on social media. It's just me. But
on Facebook,
yeah, I got no Patreon, but you know, if you see me in the comments on a Kimberly Johnson post, just say hi, you know, I love your takes.
Thank you.
You know, and one of the things that besides Bob, that I really respected about you was it was actually your takes on the ERA. I was like, hey, all right, yeah. Yeah, because I'm one of these, I'm a constitutionalist in the sense of like, yeah, I want my rights written down and I want everyone to be equal. And yeah, let's write them down. Let's put them in the Constitution so it's guaranteed. Let's do that. You know, so well, the fact you. That, yeah, I want that to happen.
Yes, so. Me too, damn it. So, woohoo, yes. Yahoo, we're going to do this. Fred, it was just awesome talking to you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Appreciate it. You know, thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.